in the KSRO kitchen. Good morning, everybody. As we jet from one area to the other in the KSRO greenhouse to the kitchen, we meet up with Chef John Ash. Good morning, Chef.
Good
John
morning. Ash. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Good.
I've eaten my fill of cherries this week.
Have you?
They've just been going crazy.
They've just been delicious, haven't they?
I made a fruit compote this week. I did a cobbler last weekend. What else have I done?
So let me ask you something. Yeah. So because I'm working on this. So what is your definition of a cobbler?
What is my definition of a cobbler?
Yeah.
A cobbler is a topping, unlike a crust. It's not rolled out. I don't roll it.
No. It's not a pie.
It's not a pie. Baking soda, baking powder, some flour, et cetera, and I just dollop spoonfuls on top of basically cooked cherries, and it rises into this beautiful biscuit topping. Kind of a biscuit topping is how I would look at it.
So the reason I'm asking you this is I started on this little task of writing a piece about Betty's, cobblers, pandowdies, blah, blah, blah.
Grunts, slumps.
You know. And you sort of get in there and you start reading people's definitions. Nobody agrees. Some people with cobblers, they put it on top, but it's not a biscuit dough. It's more, crumbly stuff, often something with rolled oats in it or something like that. Some people put it on the bottom and the fruit on top.
And some people roll out this dough and call it a cobbler topping also.
That's right. And so last week we had Gail from Dry Creek Peach on. So I said, tell me about your cobbler recipe. And hers is she rolls it out and bakes it and then puts the peaches on after. And I said, that's not a cobbler. That's shortcake, isn't it?
Yeah.
But she calls it. So there's absolutely no agreement, I guess, on what a cobbler is.
Well,
except that the one thing that I thought was interesting is that it comes from this whole idea of cobbling together whatever you have. So whatever fruit is in season and whatever else you have around,
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Well, it was delicious. That's the only thing that I can remember.
Yeah.
And my guests raved about it, and it was simple. Really simple. I actually added a couple peaches and apricots to the cherries, and I baked it in a 10-inch cast iron.
Yeah. Oh, skillet. That's great. Yeah.
So the presentation.
Campfire.
A campfire style.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been up to is lots of cherries this week.
And how did you pit them?
Oh, I did. How did I pit them? You know what I did for these? I just cut them in half with a knife and then take the pit out.
Yeah.
Because presentation was not that important.
No.
I didn't need them whole. So I do have my cherry pitter, but I found it's just as quick to slice it open with a knife and gently just flick them out with my thumb.
Okay.
Big news in the world of food reviewing this week from San Francisco.
Yeah.
Michael Bauer announces his retirement after 32 years at the San Francisco Chronicle. And we've had Michael on a number of times over the last 20 years. I'm hoping we'll have him on in the next few weeks. He's going to write through the end of summer, his last column probably end of August or so.
You know, I hope. So the question is, who will replace him, or can anybody replace him? Because he became kind of the most important food reviewer. And it wasn't just about restaurant reviews, though that's where he spent most of his time, but just on issues around the hospitality industry and all that stuff. I don't know who could ever replace him. And I hope this doesn't also mean the end of the Chronicle, because the Chronicle for such a long time was the best food section of all newspapers in the country. So I hope this doesn't mean that goes away.
Yeah, he really put his mark on the paper, for better or worse.
Did you read some of for those who ever read Michael Bauer? You should go online and look at some of the online comments. Some people didn't like him.
No. Well, look, after 32 years, it's easy to poke fun and to say it's time for the dinosaur to move aside and let some younger folks come in and take over the new direction of the Chronicle. That's valid also. But what he brought as far as credibility to the newspaper, as you said, truly was thought of as the finest newspaper food section of the country for many, many years. Yeah. He's done great work, and we hope to get some comments from Michael in the coming weeks.
Well, and it said his comment was that he wants to do, he's not going to give up writing, that he's working on a book and doing some other things. And of course, the thing that you and I always love is his, each year he's done the 100 best restaurants in the Bay Area list, which is always controversial for some people, you know, but always an interesting guide.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll journey to Philo Boonville, California, the heart of Anderson Valley, to meet with a long-standing heritage apple grower and now cider maker. That when we return, it's the Good Food Hour at KSRO. Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash celebrating 31 years here in Sonoma County.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Hi, I'm Noreen Evans. Since October, I've been fighting to help you recover from the wildfires. We all know that this will take hard work and a lot of resources, so I've asked Aaron Brockovich to join us to help. Aaron has fought PG&E before and has held them accountable for the harm they've caused in communities just like ours.
You know, we've had lots of fire situations with Pacific Gas and Electric. They've got an antiquated system. They have failing infrastructure. When are you going to do your job and make it right? This mentality you have as a corporation isn't working and will not move you or these people into the future.
Meet the team that Aaron Brockovich is working with and learn more about your legal rights against PG&E. The next meeting is Thursday, July 19th at 5:30 p.m. and Saturday, the 21st at 10 a.m. at 70 Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa. For more, visit pgelawsuit.com. John Cox and the law offices of John Cox is the attorney responsible for the content of this commercial. Hi, it's Jeff Davis from On the Wine Road. The new modern showroom at Smothers European Volvo is moving along. Slowly, but they're making progress. The new space promises to impress, much like the cars Volvo is producing these days. Volvo cars are reaching new heights in technology and class. In the meantime, they're still open for sales and service. Right now, it's a good time to pick up a Volvo at a great price, as the contractors are in constant need of extra space during construction. They're offering specials on former loaners and demos with low mileage and factory warranties. Of course, you can also test drive 2018 Volvos, like the XC60, voted the 2018 World Car of the Year. Or maybe you'd prefer the Volvo XC90, awarded the 2018 Consumer Guide Best Buy Award for its class. Smothers is a family-owned business and has been since 1982. They're on the Corby Auto Row and smothers-european-volvo.com.
Results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services. If you owe the IRS back taxes, payroll taxes, or have not filed your returns, the IRS will get you. They can take your property, take you to court, even put you in jail. With one call to WAL, you'll never need to talk to the IRS again. Our average client settles for about 10% of what is owed. We offer free face-to-face consultations in your local area. Call 800-727-0433. That's 800-727-0433.
Tune in to Travel Tuesdays from noon to 12:30 each week and discover where you can take your next bucket list vacation. Travel expert Elise Corey, owner of TravelWise, the only virtuoso travel agency in Sonoma County, puts her nearly 30 years' experience in the travel industry to work for you as she guides you around the globe and across the seas. Listen to her shows when you want to at KSRO.com. Just click on Travel Tuesdays and choose your podcast. That's KSRO.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Well, this is a real treat for us here in the KS Arnold Kitchen. Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash as we welcome Don and Sharon Gowan from Gowan's Apple Stand up in beautiful Mendocino County in the Philo Boonville area. Thank you both for coming into the station this morning.
Don, our pleasure. Thank you.
Because it takes forever to drive from Philo, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it depends on your scale of reference. For us, we drive 45 minutes to get to the first traffic light.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. So tell us, I've gone to Mendocino all of my life, and I always try to stop at the farm.
Thank you.
Because you have this wonderful farm stand. But it's been there for 150 years or something like that.
We're celebrating our 142nd apple harvest on the farm. The fruit stand itself started with Don's great-grandmother?
Grandmother.
Mm-hmm. And when did she start that?
The early 1930s, just putting boxes of apples leaning against the fence there, and it was on the honor system with a coffee can, and I think a box of apples was 4 bits, but I'm not sure.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if your readers remember what 4 bits is.
I do. Is that 50 cents?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But you still kind of do that, don't you? Because I know, like, in the dead of winter when there's nobody around, it's still kind of on the honor system.
We do, not as much as we have, but we're there more. We have more stuff, so we're there more often, and the high-value products need a little more attention.
Yeah. And how many varieties of apples do you grow?
We grow 83 different varieties.
Whoa.
Now. And the family's been, the cool thing about the farm is the family's been curating, planting, and experimenting with different varieties of apples. So in a sense, the varieties we grow are paired with our particular microclimate, our terroir. And the family, when I first married into the family now, just 30 years ago, actually, it was interesting because I grew up on a dairy in Sonoma County. And so we were used to evaluating cattle and bloodlines and characteristics. And when I married into this family, I just thought it was incredibly odd that they were evaluating apples so closely.
Don, how did the gallons get to Anderson Valley?
We have two parts of the family. We have the Studebaker family that moved there in 1876 and bought property. And then the Gowans moved there in 1902. The Studebakers came in and bought a homestead from a family with the last name of Nuns. And the Gowans had been on the West Coast. My great-great-grandfather worked for one of the lumber companies from the East Coast, mm-hmm. and was out evaluating timber. And then he and his brothers moved out. They had a sawmill in a number of places. They owned all of Rockport, north of Westport, mm-hmm. for a while. And then the family, they had a shipwreck that kind of bankrupted them at that point. Then they moved to Shelter Cove and farm there, and then the ranch they were on sold, so they moved from Shelter Cove to Anderson Valley, and it took them 8 days to move from Shelter Cove to Anderson Valley. My grandfather had the great task of milking the cows in the morning and then herding them down. When they met together, they would have lunch, and then everybody in the wagons moved faster than the cows, and then when he caught up with them at night, they'd milk and start go to sleep and start the day again. It took about 7 days.
It's wild. So the Anderson Valley is famous, or was famous for apples, wasn't it?
We had a lot of apple farms at one time, and then in the late 60s, early 70s, it started transitioning to wine. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that make great wine apples make great wine.
How many apple farms are left? Do you know in the Anderson Valley?
There's three commercial, what I would consider commercial farms, but there's a number of small homestead type, 3 or 4 acres uh-huh. that are still existing. But most of it's being converted to grapes.
But you guys are the biggest, largest, oldest, something like that, all of the
Yes,
ESTs.
All of the above.
Yeah. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. It's the varieties of apples are so fun because they come from all over the world. Mm-hmm. They all have a story. They all have their own perfume in the spring when the blossoms are out.
Mm. Is that right? I didn't know that. You can distinguish them.
You can, to some extent, you can tell which apple's blooming by the smell in the orchard or what orchard you're in.
Yeah.
So you grew up in the orchards.
I did, yes.
Pruning everything, doing all steps of...
I did a little of everything. I was the youngest of seven, and so I got what was left over a lot of times. I moved a lot of irrigation pipe. I've done everything. Somebody needed help. That was my job, was to assist the others.
Is there a very historically important apple out of all the varieties you grow that you would single out?
For us, it's probably the Sierra Beauty, because my grandfather picked it up in 1906 in the Sierra Nevadas, somewhere around Jackson, maybe. It was most likely developed by Bidwell in his nursery in the Sierras, and he brought back a single tree in 1906. It does really well in our climate, in our terroir. And then in the late 80s, we got approached by researchers that thought the apple had been extinct. And we said, no, we've had it all the time. And so their theory is that every existing Sierra Beauty tree is comes from our orchard. Mm. That it propagated.
So I have two questions about what was there an apple variety that is unique to your place, something that sprung up that as apples have a way of doing?
That's a good question. We have the red Sierra Beauty.
There is a red Sierra Beauty that is exclusive to us,
and we do have some others that we haven't named yet.
Yeah,
that we're sleeper
unique.
Yes,
apples. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
and one of the things which you should talk about, I didn't know. Steve Garner, of course, knew this when I mentioned it to him when Michael Pollan's book came out, The Botany of Desire, and he talked about apples. And I thought, well, if you get an apple that you really like, you take the seeds and you plant that sucker, and you'll end up with it. That doesn't happen, does it? You have to.
It's grafting, just like wine grapes.
You can't depend upon. He described them as, if you do something like that, they're called spitters, because they're so.
They may be.
Usually, but not always. Yeah, but they're usually apples don't hold true. The seeds in an apple aren't true to the apple that it came from. But a sweeter apple will usually tend to be a little bit, just because of what's around it. But they by no means carry through. Just because it's a sweet, good eating apple doesn't mean that the seeds will produce anything close to that.
Well, you mentioned spitter. I always heard that term in relation to cider apples, that bitters are spitters.
Yeah.
The cider apples. These are not fresh dessert apples. You take one of these, you're not going to want to eat any more of this. Right?
Most likely. It'd be like biting into a crab apple.
Yeah. You did.
It would be kind of like that, one of the sour, bitter crab apples.
Very high in tannins, dry to the mouth.
But one of the things that we've known all along, the wine industry has known all along, is that terroir matters. So how the apple grows, it depending on where it's at, is going to shift. And we've had apples that you would consider dessert apples that are, once fermented, that tannins really come through, and experts in the industry will sample that and insist we use cider apples, and we'll tell them we actually grew those apples. They're dessert apples, but they can't tell the difference. And so, and we've known all along, terroir matters. It matters when you grow flowers. It matters where you grow wine grapes. And so and also the age of the orchard. Of course, the varietal, even the rootstock, may have an effect on that.
It's why I know on the East Coast they have all kinds of apples that we never see out here.
Exactly.
When you go to the farmers markets, Empire and I don't know, there are a whole bunch of them there. And I guess it must be vice versa, too, that we have apples that they don't see on the East Coast. Too.
Yeah. And then sometimes, depending on your terroir, you might end up using the same apples across the world. We're part of the Anderson Valley Wine Association. Our cidery is, and they asked us to pour at the Alsace Festival, recently renamed the Aromatic White Wine Festival. Mm-hmm. And initially they said, do you grow any apples that they grow in the Alsace region? And we checked into it. Turns out they're growing American apples, not exclusively, but a number of them are. So the apples if you follow Michael Pollan's theory, they find the place where they will be most appreciated, and therefore they're propagated.
So the salvation for at least the West Coast apple industry may possibly be hard apple ciders, it seems to me, at least if you listen to a lot of our Sonoma County growers that have been resuscitating abandoned orchards, that have been adding this value-added product to their lineup so that they can continue to grow apples, because a lot of them are going, we just can't compete anymore, certainly with the concentrate, with the Washington apple industry. Right. And ciders have made this a viable agriculture concern. And I noticed that the gallons, of course, are also bottling your own cider. When did this start, Don? How long ago?
On the hard cider, we started in We got our license in 2014. We've been making sweet cider since the late 50s, early 60s, which is just apple juice. But
and sounds
our
better.
In our terminology, it's sweet cider. But we've been working on hard cider since 2014, bottling and all. And the nice thing about ours is we grow everything. Everything's done on the ranch. It's all California apples, all our apples. And
let me ask you something. Do you ever add apple concentrate?
No. Okay. It's 100% apples from our farm.
One of our guests that we've had on a couple of times, who's a major player in the world of apple cider, said anybody that tells you they're not adding concentrate is lying, because you cannot grow enough apples to expand the business unless you buy concentrate.
I don't know about their business model, but we are committed to being fully estate. And in fact, the California Cider Association developed in part to support people that are using California apples. And that's it's a very small group, so we hope that it's going to be a growing group, but there are under 10 members right now. And they are in the process, or have already become certified. And you, on our bottles, we have this real California cider certification on the neck label. And that means 100% of our apples or pears have to come from California. And in our case, because we want the very best fruit and we can grow it just specifically for cider, 100% comes from our own farm.
So are these dessert apples or cider apples in these bottles?
Well, some of these would be considered dessert, and some of these would be considered a sort of culinary or heritage. They divide up in competitions. They divide up cider as modern or dessert, traditional, and then heritage, which is the really high tannins. Actually, I'm going to switch that. I think it might be anyway one of those two. One is like more culinary apples that have some tannins, and one is the really higher tannin ones that tend to have some malolactic fermentation as well.
Yeah. But don't we talk dry but like sweet, most of us?
Yeah. A little bit.
That's right, yes.
I was in a class with a guy that has taught 95% of the cider makers in the United States. So he's been teaching for 20 years. And in his class, he tells the prospective cider makers, there's always a competition at the end to make a cider very quickly and then to do a blind tasting and a judge. And he tells every single class that you talk dry, like sweet. If you want to win this competition within this class, make a sweeter cider. Very few do. And he says he's had twice in his entire career teaching thousands of people where not the sweetest cider won. So, yeah.
But I have to admit, I kind of like a little bit of sweetness in my cider.
So in France, they have a real tradition, especially up in Normandy and that part of France, the more northern part of France. They've been making ciders of all kinds for centuries. Mm-hmm. How did these compare to those?
Great question. So we have.
Thank you.
Oh dear. So. Ciders can produce, apples can produce three, if you're looking at the alcohol nature of cider, sort of three main types of flavor profiles, and they can produce them together or separately. In France, typically you have a cidery note. It tastes like a fermented apple, but you can also have apples that don't produce a cidery note. When we share our heirloom cuvée with people that are from France and from the UK and from Australia, they'll say, oh, that smells and tastes like home. Then they're recognizing most likely, I think, that cidery note as well as the blend. But we also have some apples that don't produce that cidery note, and they're more of a fresh apple. And so our McIntosh and our Gravenstein don't have that cidery note. The Gravenstein has a little bit of a winey note to it. So you won't notice that. And for some people, especially in the American palate, they're not as accustomed to the fermented apples. So they'll like those better. So those would be a little bit different. And then we have the Sierra Beauty, which actually has a bit of a spiritus characteristic to it. So it's a bit warming. And throughout a meal, you're more likely to recognize that than in a quick blind tasting.
And do all, I notice with each of these, they are specific varietals that you're making the cider from. And do alcohols differ? With each of these,
yeah.
The alcohol level?
They do. We have some that have been, we've fermented out to over 9%.
Yeah. We have a couple dry ciders that we haven't released yet that are truly dry, and they come through with some residual sweetness. At least it seems like sweetness. But they're really high in alcohol, and it gets down to how we're going to deal with that. It'll go out in our cider club. But as far as mass market, I'm not sure exactly how. We're still trying to figure out how to make packaging for that. Our ciders, because they're all California grown, out the costs are expensive, and they're not, the apples are being grown for cider, not exclusively, but mostly, that our costs are much higher than buying a second or a third apple out of Washington and pressing it, or buying direct juice out of Washington, where they're, most of that stuff is what they can't sell anywhere else. It's gotten too old. It's it's not cosmetically right. So our price point is much higher than some of the six pack ciders.
So is it always done with fresh fruit, though? I mean, when you make cider,
we press our own juice, ferment it right away, and then we'll usually store it from 6 to 18 months, depending. We'll let it maturate. We'll let it age. Only it's a little bit different. It's not like wine, where it doesn't age like wine does, but it does get softer. It gets a little bit more characteristic in it, up to about 2 years, and then it's kind of done doing any changes,
changes. We're going to need to take a break, and then we've got a couple of guests on the line. But after you crush the apples, you let it ferment for 2 or 3 weeks, don't you?
Yes.
All right, so that's the next step.
And
you do the home bottling there, too?
Everything is done on the ranch.
Fantastic. The Gowans are with us, Don and Sharon Gowan, from beautiful Philo Boonville, California, Mendocino. They've been growing apples, the family has, for about 150 years. And a few years ago, they started making their own hard cider. We're going to give you a real sense of place when we talk with a couple native Boonvillians who will be talking a little Boontling on the show this morning. It's Steve Garner, John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. This summer's market is exploding with all its local bounty. Berries and fruit, summer squash, onions, and vine-ripe tomatoes. Get your vegetable starts and advice from master gardeners at the Saturday market. When it comes to choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, and freshly made sausages. Award-winning vendors and artisans offering everything from baked goods, olive oil, fermented foods, spices, and chocolate to hand-painted silk pieces. Enjoy a fruit smoothie, breakfast, or lunch from the variety of food vendors. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun. Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. This summer's market is exploding with all its local bounty. Berries and fruit, summer squash, onions, and vine-ripe tomatoes. Get your vegetable starts and advice from master gardeners at the Saturday market. When it comes to choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, and freshly made sausages. Award-winning vendors and artisans offering everything from baked goods, olive oil, fermented foods, spices, and chocolate to hand-painted silk pieces. Enjoy a fruit smoothie, breakfast, or lunch from the variety of food vendors. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
You've always wanted the perfect space outside for your family. But who do you call? Since 1984, Sonoma County Sunrooms has been providing outdoor improvements for families to enjoy their backyards all year long. You may be thinking,
how much will it cost? How long will it take? How can I afford something like that?
Well, now may be the right time to increase value while adding usable space. With a monthly payment option, your outdoor room is closer than you think.
Hi, I'm David with Sonoma County Sunrooms, your authorized Four Seasons Sunrooms dealer right here in Santa Rosa. Our sunrooms, patio covers, and retractable awnings create the perfect place for your backyard recreation. If you're in the market for home improvements, considering expansion on your new build or existing home, call SoCo Sun today and schedule a design consultation to find out the best options for you.
Sonoma County Sunrooms, your full-service design center located on Santa Rosa Avenue. Online at SoCoSun.com. Sonoma County Sunrooms. Design, installations, remodeling.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Clouds coming back after today. Today's sunny at 79, 63 on the coast. Mostly clear skies tonight. Low 54, 52 on the shores. Partly cloudy for Sunday at 78, 62 in Bodega Bay. Monday, a few clouds at 83, 68 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash and Don and Sharon Gowan from Mendocino County. You know, Anderson Valley was a very remote area over 100 years ago, difficult to get to. And the natives got, my understanding and interpretation is they got really bored and they needed something to do. So they made up their own language, partly for their own amusement, maybe to use as party favors to confuse strangers and outsiders. Rod DeWitt and Wes Smoot have been speaking this language for a long time. They're two longtime speakers, and I believe Wes is the elder of the two statesmen, and they're calling us from Philo and Boonville area. We got them on the line to give us a little bit of the native language, a few tongue twisters. I'll ask them not to use any profanity, not that either one of us, John, would understand any of the profanity, even if they did use it. So, gentlemen, welcome to the show, and would you mind just give us an example of some boontling this morning?
Yeah, we're gonna slip a button for you. I understand you're doing a thing.
Okay, we're getting some. We're getting some really bad feedback. Are you on two cell phones at this point?
No, just one.
Oh, okay, that sounds better. Go right ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Rod.
Well, Deacon was harping that heard that they had the gals, the Gano Kimmies down there on your beach and. You know, harping on how to make cider and that kind of thing. Just a little pause here, maybe let Deacon harp a slip.
Yeah, give us a little more.
Yeah, well, Gallon's Oak Tree had kind of abolished the entire cab stock down there that is the country. I used to stop and sail and drink a half gallon jug from the guy in the logging truck, and that was Ball Fest Dad Talk. They also have Dan with Charlie Brown down there. And, they have all kinds of good things down there.
You know, that sounds, ahead, Rod. It sounds just like gibberish. Go ahead, a little bit more.
All right.
Well, Boontling is kind of a dying language in the valley, but it's going to remain because there's enough literature printed on it and documented that it'll be here forever. And if we get our little harpers together here, we'll keep a harpers live as long as we can. So, Wes, what about maybe if I do the first line and then you'll know what I'm talking about, and then you can do another one here. So how about Cirque Skirt, the Tudor's Tweed, Strung a Borp, and Shied? Shied.
So, Ron, Gowan, have you understood anything that they have said?
I've understood probably 70%.
You
60,
have?
70.
Well, could you kind of translate
no.
what they
I couldn't immediately, but...
So, Wes, Rod, tell us what you just said. Paraphrase what you just said on the air.
So, what I did was the first line of Tom Tom the Piper's Son. Stole a pig and ran. Yeah, one of the most famous things that I like in this country,
If your jape don't horn, and if your horn don't jape. That's pretty ball for when you're bed horning. What that translates to is if you drink, don't drive, and if you drive, don't drink.
So if I wanted to learn Boontlang, is there somebody still teaching it?
No, not that I know of. The schools for my tweeds aren't, and they're really young, but they're too busy trying to learn English these days out here, so you're not getting it in school anymore. So the best way is just to be helping with your kidneys.
So where do you practice it? At the senior center up there in Anderson Valley?
Just wherever we can run into anybody that has boots. Boots an awful hard thing to talk to yourself about. somebody to talk to. And if we get two or three together, well, we have a big boat session. A lot of boots happen going on.
Oh, we're getting a little feedback again. We're getting some problems. You know, this is cell phone in Anderson Valley, and we hope for the best. And I understand there's really only a handful, maybe just a few original Boontlang speakers left. Wes, are you part of the last three or four originals up there in Anderson Valley?
Yeah, I call myself about the last of the Mohegan.
When did you start speaking the language, Wes?
I was about 32, 33 years old when I first started learning it.
So
and
maybe
the reason I learned it was self-defense. I thought maybe they were talking about me, and I didn't know what they were saying, so I learned the language.
So you've been speaking it for about a half a century. And what about you, Rod? How long have you been speaking it? You're the younger generation.
I came out here, about mid-70s. And it was basically the same thing. I had to learn it from self-defense. They'd be up at Boshin Camp, sitting around the Jeffer, harping notch on each other, and they were throwing a little bit more nonsense at me. So there you go.
If any folks listening come up to Mendocino and stop at the Horn of Zeus, the cafe downtown, would they likely be able to hear any of that, or is that closed by now?
Closed.
The Horn of Zeus no longer exists. So would people have to go to the senior center? Where could they hear some authentic Boontlang?
Well, if they could find anybody that talks Boontlang anymore, the Redwood Drive-In would probably be the most likely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Horn of Zeus anymore.
Okay, the Redwood Drive-In. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's stop there.
The Horn of Nook at the Cyber region, too. Sometimes they can catch me there, and I'd be happy to harvest it.
Did you put out a phrase book a while ago, Wes, of Boontlang terms and sayings and slogans?
No, I don't believe I did.
Okay, I thought you did. I thought you did. There was one book I know published about 40 years ago on Boontlang.
That would probably be the weedy, but it's called the weedy. What that is a little look at Boontlang.
Okay.
There is about 106 word dictionary in that little book.
Okay.
And it's available anywhere in the valley.
And how long has the language existed, would you say?
It started actually in about 1875 in that neighborhood.
So almost 150 years, but very few native speakers left. Well, we'd love to hear it on the air, and we hope that some younger people will find it attractive enough to start incorporating it in some of their language to the next generation, so it doesn't die off. But for now, it does exist still. So Boontlang's not always, but it does for now.
Mm-hmm. That's Earth. Yep. That's Earth.
So give us a sign-off.
Well, it's Bob Harper, you can listen. We hope you enjoy your snippet, don't we?
So, yeah, you know, to all the folks out there in Sparky Motion Land, it's just a little Bob Harper, and hope you treat ball and eat old soul, and as Deacon Harp, if you horn, don't jape, and if you jape, don't horn.
Rod DeWitt and Wes Smoot, I didn't understand a word you said, but I sure loved having you on the show. Take care. It was great talking with you.
Thanks, guys.
Let's toast, and we're toasting with the Sierra Beauty.
Cheers. Absolutely.
Wonderful. This was the from apples planted in 1906. Is that correct, Ron?
That's correct, yes.
Beautiful. Why don't we take a break, and we're going to taste a couple other ciders when we come back with the gallons. It's KSRO, and it's the Good Food Hour.
Weather every 10 minutes mornings, every 30 minutes all the time on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM, KSRO.
Hey, homeowners, this is George Adair with Bay Equity Home Loans. Now you can finally benefit from the housing recovery. For a free home value analysis, call Bay Equity at 707-583-8100. Maybe now you can knock out some of those home improvement projects, like adding a new roof, kitchen, or flooring. You can even add solar with a cash-out refinance. Do you still have high credit card payments? Use your home's equity at a low-fixed mortgage to get rid of that expensive debt and sleep well again. Bay Equity can help you celebrate the housing recovery. Treat yourself to improving your home or reduce your credit card balances with a cash-out refinance from Bay Equity Home Loans. To see if you qualify, call Bay Equity at 707-583-8100. Again, 583-8100, or go online to bayequityloans.com.
Equal housing lender subject to credit approval, NMLS ID 76988. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight, California Finance Lender Law, and or California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, NMLS ID 245370.
Donating blood saves lives, and it's so easy to do with Blood Centers of the Pacific. Summer is a challenging time for our community's blood supply. For an hour of your time, you'll walk away knowing you're giving hope to patients and their loved ones. Every donation matters, and Blood Centers of the Pacific supports over 45 local hospitals. Donate now for a chance to win a Hawaiian vacation courtesy of Hawaiian Airlines and Park Shore Waikiki. Be a summer blood donor. Visit bloodcenters.org. Give today.
At Bigham's 1 Hour Heating and Air, we know that homeowners can feel overwhelmed when needing to replace essential home comfort systems. We have a plan to reduce your stress and help you invest. You might be surprised to know that there are rebates up to $3,000 as well as tax credits up to 30% on Bigham's proprietary hybrid heating and cooling systems. These systems literally pay you when installed in your home. We do all the work submitting paperwork so that you can sit back and take full advantage of these rebates and tax credits. It's rare that these incentives would overlap in the way that they do right now, so don't wait. Tune it up or change it out. Call 844-5-TUNE-UP. Local, reliable, Bigham's 1 hour, 844-5-TUNE-UP. Get your existing AC running like a top for only $49, 844-5-TUNE-UP or 844-5-TUNE-UP.
I'm Diana Herr, and I work at PG&E in our Wildfire Safety Operations Center. As part of our commitment to keep our customers safe and following last year's wildfires, PG&E has established a state-of-the-art Wildfire Safety Operations Center to monitor the risk of wildfires and coordinate prevention and response efforts. The new Wildfire Safety Operations Center will be staffed around the clock during wildfire season with highly trained specialists ready to respond to wildfire threats. Our Operations Center is a critical part of our community wildfire safety program. The center will also partner with local communities, first responders, and California's Mutual Aid and Emergency Response Systems. With this new center, we can work even faster and better to protect our customers from the growing threats of extreme weather and wildfires. One more way that together we're building a better California.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
And we're with the Gowans, Don and Sharon, down from Mendocino County, tasting ciders, along with Chef John Ash. I'm Steve Garner. So this next cider, describe this one. It's quite different than the first one we tasted.
Sure. So this is our McIntosh cider. It's a single varietal. It's very uncommon to grow McIntosh apples on the West Coast. It's very floral. Apples are actually part of the rose family. And when this one blooms in the spring, we say that this is basically an apple blossom in a bottle. It's very pretty. Smells just like spring in the orchard.
I like this a lot.
And so sweet smell to start with because you've got that perfume, apple, and then nice dry finish to it. This one scored a 95 and a 95 point in the Press Democrats wine competition.
Mm.
and was labeled, named best in class in the largest cider competition in the world. So it's been getting some nice reviews.
And we've just paired this with some of your extraordinary onions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yes, we
have. Because we were talking about using apple cider to cook with.
Absolutely.
And you said, yeah. Chase Ta-da. This.
So we actually sauteed, though with no oil, we essentially boiled onions with our Gravenstein cider, which we'll get to tasting later. But cider is a great cooking tool. We've done braising with our cuvée, which we'll get to next. We've used some of the Sierra Beauty. The nice acid in this Macintosh will go, is also fantastic pairing with any kind of a rich, like brisket or rich meats too. And of course they all go with cheese, and anytime you have pork on the table, I would suggest a bottle of cider.
Talk about these onions, Don.
These onions, one of my employees was playing around and decided he wanted to see if what he could do. So he took some Gravenstein and sauteed, boiled these onions, and it's now when we do we entertain, it's one of the major side dishes. And we had a friend come over from China and brought a group, and we had we were lucky enough to have the manager of the largest bar in Shanghai there, and he absolutely fell in love with the Gravenstein sautéed onions, and tried to entice the recipe out of my employee, and he's going, it's cider and onions. There's nothing else. No. And the guy would not believe it. But we made he will be coming back, he says, just for the onions.
The manager, owner, the largest bar in Shanghai has got how many millions of people?
Oh, God, yes. 15, 20 million people, something like that.
Fell in love with these onions.
Fell in love with the onions, yes. He had multiple servings of the onions. Wow.
I don't know if anybody else got any, actually. We ran out halfway through.
Yeah.
And what have you just passed on this fork to me?
So this is a brisket. And this particular one, we actually purchased it from Costco. Some of our ciders are available in Costco also. Oh. And any kind of a really rich meat, this one has a little bit of a smoky flavor to it. Wow. Goes really well with the Macintosh cider because of that nice high acid, that pretty floral. Mm-hmm. Actually work like palate cleansers for one another as a meal mm-hmm. develops.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mac cider is the one we've just tasted. What's mm-hmm. the next one that you have?
Our 1876 Cuvée.
Okay.
So this is very similar to a French-style cider. This is a blend of over a dozen heirloom apples, and it's a cuvée because it's a very specific blend of our heirloom apples.
We're pouring these. So, cuvée, this is a blend of how many apples are in this?
We have 13 different apples that are in this one.
And why 1876?
That's the year we started growing apples on this farm.
Oh, there, it makes perfect sense.
There you go. Now, if you have any of that brisket left, this goes really well with smoky, and it's got that cidery note, so you kind of get layers of apples with it. This one scored a 98 points in the Press Democrats wine competition. It was scored second best in the nation by Cidercraft magazine, and a double gold. Where was that at? I don't remember either. Oh, the International Women's Wine Competition. So it's doing really well both as a cider and as a wine.
It's very complex.
It is, but clearly, I get some of that. I mean, this seems like a silly thing to say, but kind of fresh apple flavor to it, you know.
Good.
that it's you know, sometimes the really dry ones you get, as you were explaining to me off the air, that cidery note that you get is is you're tasting the fermentation mostly, and the apples are kind of second, but that's not true here.
I'm glad you get both. It's a nice a nice combination, I think, of both of those things. And this cider is particularly fun because it pairs really well with everything, of course, from pork and summer spaghetti with garlic, not too much of the of the tomato sauce.
And we have a final cider. So we started with
fabulous.
So we started with the Sierra Beauty.
There we go.
And then we moved to the Gravenstein. That was the second. And the third one was the 1876. And what is this fourth cider, Sharon?
Gravenstein.
Oh, this is the Gravenstein.
Yes, right. This is the one that we cook the onions in. And we actually grow over three different types, sub-varieties of Gravenstein. One of our oldest Gravenstein trees is 150-year-old. It was there when our family homesteaded the property.
Oh, my. Oh, this is spectacular also. They're all really great. We should remind our listeners that they'll have a chance of tasting these ciders at the Gravenstein Apple Fair. Well, are you going to be pouring there?
Yeah, they'll be pouring our Gravenstein. They just pour one.
Oh, okay. They'll be pouring the Gravenstein?
Yes. Today we're actually pouring at the Breast Fest in San Rafael.
Oh, wow.
And then in September, we'll be, if people like the Gravenstein Apple Fair, like apple fairs, we have an apple fair in Mendocino where you can taste over 50 varieties, and we'll be pouring there as well.
In September in Mendocino.
September. Yeah, you should come up. Apples are delicious.
We will.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, we'll be there.
We'll be there.
So what is this beautiful dessert that we have in front of us?
This is my mother-in-law Josephine's special apple brownie recipe. And
this is your mom's recipe, Don?
This is, yes.
Did you grow up eating this?
We ate more apple pie than I got tired of apples after a while. Apple pie was, as I get older, I appreciate it more, but the apple pie,
it
apple
was
stuff
one was one of those my... little kids who said, can't we have strawberries?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Boy, John, you don't see many of these.
Oh, look, that recipe card. That's great.
On an old recipe card. And this is recipes by Josephine Gowan, her apple brownies. Mm-hmm. This is a family favorite.
Yes.
So would you mind if we put that up on the website?
That would be great.
We'll copy it. And it's in handwriting. It's not printed. It's not, no computers stuff there.
You're also welcome to put our onion recipe up. But
oh, great. Really,
yeah. Right. Slice onions, add apple. Add the syrup.
Do you have that recipe written?
No, but it's actually
onion cider cook it.
I'll write it out for you.
But the texture is really good. They're not limp onions. They have some crisp. They taste crispy.
They're just regular white onions, though. I kind of like Vidalia a little bit better, to tell you the truth. But
because they're sweeter. But white onions are firmer. So that's the deal. That's why the Mexicans really love white onions. They would never use a yellow onion because they keep their texture.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And you have some salmon that you brought in also. What would that pair with? Any of the ciders?
Gravenstein.
The Gravenstein with the salmon.
Do you know what's so nice about these? Because they have, all of them have a little bit of residual sugar in them, and that nice kind of acidity that kind of goes along with it, it's the perfect beverage to have with things that are like smoked salmon, fatty, salty, smoky. And I think you mentioned earlier, but it's really true, these are the perfect things to serve with cheese of all kinds. If you have a cheese platter that has a number of different cheeses on it, this would be the one that would work with them all.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. They're a lot of fun.
What are the hours of the farm stand? And where exactly is the farm stand?
Firstly, we don't sell our ciders at our farm stand. We don't have the permit for that at this point. And I think summer hours are, what are they, 10
to 5?
8 to 5. 8 to 5. Okay,
so stop for produce and apple.
And our sweet cider.
You can't miss it because when you're on 128, if you go too fast, there's that big curve right there. You'll run right into it.
If you go too fast, you'll miss Philo altogether.
locally, these are sold in Oliver's and some Safeways and Costco all throughout Sonoma County.
Yeah, all throughout.
Bottle Barn.
Pretty much all the all
Bottle Barn,
retailers.
Too.
Bottle Barn. For sure, yeah.
Well, this has been exciting. It's been educational, and it's been delicious. Mm-hmm. All the things we look for in an hour show here in the radio.
We really wish you a lot of luck, because it's interesting how ciders are really catching on. And I think, quite honestly, it's because they are lower in alcohol, so you can enjoy them with things. Their versatility with all kinds of foods is fantastic. So
yeah, and then there's always the just because reason.
Yeah, right.
Thanks again for listening.
Thanks,
Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, Clark Wolf at the table following the news. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.
Hello, Sonoma County. Klay Thompson.
I'm Andre Iguodala.
I'm Draymond Green.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry.
Hi, I'm Kevin Durant, and this is where the Warriors won the championship. KSRO Santa Rosa.
Maybe not.
I'm confident he's going to be impeached. He better be impeached because he does not deserve the job. You're fired.
An American among the protests today is in Scotland, where President Trump is spending the weekend. He's preparing for Monday's summit with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. That meeting will be taking place just days after a dozen Russian